When it rains, it pours. Right? We're all familiar with that saying. We've heard it and used it many times. Know what that means? It means a collection of a number of bad things that happen at a certain time in your life. Nowadays, people use another saying. You're probably familiar with it, most of you. But it's rather new. They'll say, it's a perfect storm. I was in this mess and this happened to me, and you know, it was just the perfect storm. Some may not remember that it was 32 years ago in September, this September, 32 years ago that the Andrea Gale left the harbor in Gloucester, Massachusetts, a small fishing boat that headed out into the North Atlantic on that September day, and no one ever thought that they would never, ever see these people again. Very little, a few fragments of the boat turned up, but the boat was totally gone. All six crew members lost at sea. Later on, of course, it became a well-known best-selling novel, a best-selling book, and a movie. And you know, if you've seen that movie, and I did see that movie a long time ago, but that vision at the end of that little boat and that tremendous wall of water about to consume that little boat is embedded in your brain. On that day in October of 1991, three deadly elements came together. A front moving from Canada toward New England, a high pressure system building over Canada's east coast, and the dying remnants of Hurricane Grace churning along the eastern seaboard of the United States. All three converged on this little ship, the Andrea Gale. And the last words of Billy Tyne, the captain, are written down as this: she's coming on, boys, and she's coming on strong. We still use that today. It's a perfect storm from that experience. A number of bad circumstances come together in our lives. Now, today's readings, I'm not sure if you noticed or not, but there is this common theme of storms, of danger in the deep. We begin with Jonah, and Jonah's a fascinating character. And we only read in the book of Jonah twice in a three-year cycle on a Sunday morning. And we'll read again next month. And next month, probably in about mid-September, I really think that I'd like to do a series on the prophet Jonah. Just a fascinating little book in the Old Testament and the life of Jonah. But we jump in chapter 2 today of Jonah's prayer, and most of us know what happened, right? That Jonah was asked to do something by God and he refused, did the exact opposite. God said, go to Nineveh, and Jonah got in a ship and went to Tarshish. He went the opposite direction. And so a storm comes and Jonah is thrown over, eaten by a large fish. And we read today in chapter 2, we get to hear the words of his prayer from the belly of the fish. Matthew is another well-known text. We spoke of it a few weeks ago when we were looking at the Apostle Peter's life, Matthew chapter 14, and we read today, again, a well-known story of a storm. The disciples are heading across the lake. There's a storm. Jesus comes walking on the water. There's also another storm story, right, in the beginning of Matthew. I think it's chapter 4, where they set out on the Galilee again. A storm comes. They're afraid. So it must be bad because they're professionals, right? They do this all the time. They do this for a living. And they're terrified, and Jesus is sleeping. You've heard that story, I'm sure, many times. But it seems as though in the Gospels there's always trouble on the Galilee. There's always something happening on the lake in the Gospels. It's where Peter comes to Jesus. He's fishing all night. He catches nothing. And Jesus tells him to put the net over there. It's where, again, Peter says, are you going to pay your taxes? They want to know, or are you going to pay what you owe to Rome? How are you going to do that? And they pull a fish out of the water, and there's a coin in its mouth. After the resurrection, the disciples are back out on the lake. And then again, there's this encounter with the resurrected Lord. The Gospels are full of stories about what happens on the water and storms. Our psalm today, Psalm 29, is a psalm of David. It's a psalm that is in a form known as chiastic. It means it starts here, it goes somewhere, and it ends back up where it started. And David begins with the strength and the mighty Lord. And he mentions the voice of the Lord 6 times in 10 verses. The voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the power of the Lord. And he starts with the strength. He commands the waters. He rules the sea. And then he moves into dry land. And he rules the desert. His voice rules the elements, the fire. His voice rules the wilderness and the animal kingdom. And the psalm then, after in the 10th verse, comes back to the subject of God's strength and the floodwaters and the storms. Now, Romans 9 is a stretch, I will tell you that. Paul's reading in Romans 9 about his people, and you never want to try and make the scriptures fit your sermon, because it's supposed to be the other way around, right? And so you don't want to try and do that. And I'm not gonna try and do that, because the main thing in these chapters of Romans are the nation of Israel and the teaching there. It's a rather extensive teaching. But I will say this. As Paul starts out, he says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. That's a storm. Great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Now, I wish I would have preferred Acts chapter 27 today. That would have been, that would have been much better. Paul's voyage and all of the things that happen at the end of Acts. And Paul's on his journey to Rome. But I'll take great sorrow, unceasing anguish of heart, because it's clear, really, that many, many times in the Bible, from Genesis, where we have Noah and his family who are in a boat out on the waters, right? Out on the waters, from Genesis all the way through, we have these stories in the Bible of turbulence and tempests, and troubles on the waters and storms. And I think it's pretty clear that there is something for us to learn about life, about the storms of life in all of these tales. You will remember, of course, what Jesus said in Matthew 7 about the wise man and the foolish man, right? The wise man builds his house on the rock, meaning Jesus. The wise man builds his house on the rock, but the foolish man builds his house on the sand. And then Jesus says, the rains came down, the storms rose, and the winds blew. He didn't say the rains might come down. He didn't say the streams might rise or the winds may blow. He said they do. They do, and it's a description of life for all of us at some point and some place. The storms of life. And sometimes they feel like a perfect storm. Sometimes it's like more than one thing is converging in our lives. That's how bad it is. I'll just share a story, a personal story from my life. It was a long time ago, but it was late 1995, and I was going through one of these storms, a very unexpected broken marriage that I didn't see coming, and found myself, you know, in a place of that, and a single parent, three kids, and trying to manage through that storm. And then while that was going on, of course, you could imagine the trouble this would be for kids in a family. One of the kids was not making it to school or making it late. But while I'm going through this, I get a summons from the court, okay? And I have to go to court because my child is truant. And I have to appear before a magistrate. And this magistrate, okay, this magistrate begins to lecture me about, well, if it was my children, and this is what you should do, and telling me how here I am on my own, right? Trying, this has just happened, and I'm trying to get through this, and I'm being lectured about how bad of a parent I am. Yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. Okay, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. At the same time, a bill collector calls about a credit card debt I had no idea of and told me that he was taking me to court. Perfect storm. And you know these from your own life and the things that happen, whether they're health issues or personal issues or things in your family, when these things converge at the same moment and you say, you know, it seems so bad. It's Lord, is something going to happen? It seems like it's the last minute. It's the fourth watch of the night. And, you know, it's getting worse and worse. I have a friend who her husband died early and she was a young widow and left with children and struggling through that. And, you know, while that's going on, lo and behold, she gets pulled over on the highway by a Pennsylvania state trooper and gets a speeding ticket. And there along the highway, she just broke down. It was too much, right? You have all these things happening in your life and one more thing. And she sat there on the side of the road in her car crying. And of course, the state policeman thought, well, I never saw anybody react that way to a speeding ticket. And he just sat there. And they just sat there on the side of the road. The storms of life. David said in 2 Samuel 22, the waves of death swirled about me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. And he's talking about the circumstances, the problems, be it Saul trying to put him to death or the loss of his children. The sons of Korah write in Psalm 42, deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. A prayer like the prayer of Jonah, who says, all of your waves and billows, I feel that it is just all washed over me. These are fascinating stories. I wish we had more time to compare them, to contrast them. Notice how in many of these stories, there is one who is calm in the midst of the storm. We know, of course, that it's Jesus who is sleeping in the boat. And the disciples have to come to him and say, what's the matter with you? How could you sleep? Do something. And there's this calmness. And even remarkably in the story of Jonah, right? I mean, these are professional sailors and they're out on the water. And even in the story of Jonah, Jonah's asleep. And everybody's, they're sacrificing stuff to their gods and they're praying and they're saying how bad this is. And the man is sound asleep in the midst of all this. And they have to wake him up and they go, what's the matter with you? Get up. Get up. We're in trouble. Paul sets sail in Acts chapter 27, and everybody's in a panic. You know, they're throwing stuff off the boat, just like they are in Jonah's story. They're pitching everything out of the boat in this storm, which is probably a topic for another sermon. But Paul is in perfect peace. Don't worry. No one's going to be lost. Stay in the boat. We're going to be safe. Always calm, calmness in the storm. In these stories, there are some who are in the storm like Jonah. They're in a storm because of their disobedience, right? That's why he got in the storm. Go to Nineveh. Give them the word. Give them the gospel. And Jonah's so mad about those Ninevites. They're so terrible and the things they've done to his people and his family. And he's not going to do one thing for them. He disobeys and he finds himself in a storm. But there are those who find themselves in a storm because they obeyed. The reading today says that Jesus made them. Another translation says Jesus compelled them. Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side. They were right where they were supposed to be. They were there because they obeyed him. And they found themselves in the middle of a storm. In these stories, they're stories of faith. Faith. Some faith, at least. Peter's faith to get out of the boat. And I would argue that Jonah had faith. I mean, Jonah just said, well, I know the problem. It's me. Pitch me over the side. I mean, I don't know. That's pretty bold. And I think, you know, that I would argue that he knew his God. He was a prophet. And knew God and knew his God. And he said, throw me over the side. That's your problem. That'll fix it. In all of these stories, they understand who it is that actually controls the storm. Who is above the storm? Just as David said, you command the waters, you rule the sea. Jonah says, I can't run. He cries out, Lord, it's up to you to fix this situation. The disciples are in great fear. They're in great fear of the storm, but they're even in greater fear when Jesus calms the waves, because they say, ooh, who is this guy here? Who is this? In all of these storm stories, there's this awareness of the one who is above the storm, who controls the storm. And then there is the purpose of the storms. The purpose of the storms. Jonah had to get to Nineveh. God needed him to get there and save that whole town and tell them about God's, about repentance, about forgiveness, about judgment. Paul had to be at the island, at Malta. Do you remember he crashed and he's sitting around a campfire and a snake come out and bit him? And everybody says, ooh, he's going to die. He did something wrong. And nothing happened. And all of these people are pagan people. They're worshiping other gods. And when they saw that, all of these people, the king of the island, the leader of the island, all of these people came to the Lord. Jesus and his disciples had to get to the other side, because at the other side, after the storm, was the man possessed by all the demons, the man that was chained in the graveyard. You know the story well, and Jesus commanded the demons to come out. Well, that's where they went after the storm. There's purpose in the storm. It's hard to see sometimes. I conclude with two birds that face storms in a very different way. The first one is the golden-winged warbler, okay? And he weighs about the weight of 2 nickels. Now, the golden-winged warbler, got to watch how you say that, migrated to East Tennessee. And they flew their, you know, they flew all these miles, and they come and they land in Eastern Tennessee. But at one point, They were there. They were supposed to raise their family and spend the summer there. But all of a sudden, they pick up and go 5 more days and 900 more miles. And they couldn't figure out what they were doing until they discovered that they have an infrasound frequency and that somehow they knew a tornado was coming. Somehow they knew a storm was coming. And so they just got out of there. Now the bad news is they were too tired to raise a family, to do what they were supposed to be doing after that additional 900 miles. And then there's the albatross, right? The albatross. The albatross has the longest wingspan of any other bird. Some of them are 11 foot. And the albatross stays out at sea for 18 months at a time. And he only lands maybe on top of the water to get something, but for 18 months they're out at sea. And they only come in to lay their eggs and have babies. And that's why they come in. They're like drunken sailors. People make fun of them because they're wobbling around. They can't walk on land. But the albatross, with that wingspan, they can't fly when it's calm. When it's calm, when it's peaceful, they can't get airborne. They can't get off the ground. And so the albatross, they need the storm winds to keep aloft. Brings us back to our faith, our obedience, our sense of purpose, and keeping our eye on the one who is the master of the storm. Amen.